There's a fascinating area of science called sleep research. And psychologists and physicists, physicians and biologists try to team together to understand what happens in a person's mind and body as a person sleeps. Specifically, what happens when a person dreams? Lots of opinions. There's no consensus presently in modern science about why a person dreams, what a person's dreams represent. One opinion is that a person's dreams are nothing more than neural impulses flashing from part of the brain to the opposite parts of the brain, completely random. But there are dreams, and then there are dreams. This week's Parsha, Yaakov has a dream. I don't mean to sound like any famous speakers. I have other colors. And this dream is a special dream. You see, Yaakov is just crowned with Bechorah. Not only is he crowned with Bechorah just moments ago, but as he's traveling away from his family's home, the sun suddenly sets 2 hours before Shki arrives. In the middle of the afternoon, he's traveling, and it gets dark. He's forced to camp. And he falls asleep. I don't know if any of you know me well, but it's not so hard to fall asleep during afternoon. Afternoon seders, as good a time as any to fall asleep. But Yaakov Avinu has been learning for 14 years. He hasn't slept for one night. All of a sudden, he gets to this place, Vayifka b'makom, and the first time in 14 years, he falls asleep. And this is not a stam dream. This is a dream that's written in the Torah for good reason. It's not a dream in the sense of being only a dream. It's a nevuah. That's part of the problem. If it's a nevuah, then why need it be in a dream? Let it be a nevuah while he's awake. Perhaps it's the very fact that Yaakov is sleeping and it is a dream can tell us what the nevuah was. Here, Yaakov has this nevuah at Vayifka b'makom. Chazal tell us that Lashon Poga, Lashon Pegi is a Lashon of davening. Here Yaakov instituted the concept, we'll try to explain a little later what that means, instituted the concept of davening Maariv. And immediately after that, he has this nevuah. A nevuah that the contents are very unusual, very mysterious, they almost beg to be explained. And perhaps by understanding the nevuah itself, we'll be understand why it had to take place while he was sleeping, and why it's immediately after he founded the idea of Maariv. What's the nevuah? Sula mutzavayetz of Rosh Hamagia Hashemayim, there's a ladder all the way up to the heavens, angels climbing up and down, and Hashem sitting on top, Hashem ritzav alav, and Hashem gives a bracha to Yaakov, Hayazar acha kafar ha'aretz, you should be manyful, you should have many children, like the ground on the earth. Ufaratz the yom of akeim, it's the phone of an egba. It's a pasuk also. Who are these malachim going up and down? And if they were malachim, what do they symbolize? Not only what do they symbolize, but if they're malachim, they come from Shemayim. Why are they going up? They should be coming down. And finally, what's the connection between this whole mara of Asul Mutzavayetz Rosh Magia Shemayim and the malachim going up and down and the brachas that Hashem's about to give Yaakov, having a lot of children, and Faratz Liyam V'Kedma? The Pirkei de Rabbi Lazar tells us who these malachim were. These were malachim, says the Pirkei de Rabbi Lazar, they represent the Sar Shel Umos HaOlam. Each nation of the world has a certain angel that sort of governs it. And each angel, Hashem doesn't want to deal with the nations of the world directly, so he sort of sets up an intermediary through which Hashem could channel whatever flows he wants to channel to them through this intermediary angel. And says Pirkei de Rabbi Lazar, the message of them going up first, then down, is representative of the Umos HaOlam. In times of Bnei Yisrael and Golus, each nation rises, is successful in hurting Klal Yisrael, successful in beating upon Klal Yisrael. And then what? The Yordim Bo. And then they ultimately fall down to the depths, to the pit. Mark Twain has a similar lashon. He writes an essay concerning the Jews. I don't know if you ever read it. I read it. I think I did it in English Comp 101, I think. The lashon, if I remember correctly, is something along the lines, the Egyptian, the Persian Empire rose, and then faded into powder dust. This is a nevuah about Golus. This is a nevuah about the hatzlach of the goyim oppressing the Jewish people and ultimately their downfall. And inasmuch as this is a nevuah about galus, a nevuah about darkness, a nevuah about night, it's only appropriate that this nevuah take place when darkness comes. And darkness had to come right away, before it was supposed to come. While Yaakov was sleeping, sleep, and it's a mashal of Lila. The message of Marv is that exact message. The message of Marv is the ability to serve Hashem, the avodas Hashem that takes place, but Lila, when we don't understand, when there's a darkness. The Kliyoker cites a medrash. Sorry. That's what happens when you have three cards. Yaakov was about to enter his own private galus. Not a galus of Bnei Yisrael, but his own private galus. He was about to leave Beis Yitzchak v'Rivka, leave Beis Medrash Shel Shem v'Ever, and enter Beis Lavan. And Hashem's message to Yaakov as he's about to embark on this personal galus is that there will be times that the nations will rise up to hurt Klal Yisrael. But Hashem Ritzav Alav, the Ramban explains in this pasuk, that whereas the Pirkei D'Avos explained before, all the nations of the world have their malachim who are looking down upon them, but Hashem Ritzav Alav, when it comes to Bnei Yisrael, Hashem has his own hashgacha. And therefore, when it comes to the other nations, they rise meteorically and then they fall. But Bnei Yisrael is just the opposite. Because we're under the hashgacha of Hashem Ritzav Alav, we might suffer in the beginning, but we rise up on top in the end. And there's a lesson that Rabbeinu Bechaye teaches us from the bracha that Hashem gives Yaakov. Ask Rabbeinu Bechaye a very simple question. If this is telling us that you should have a lot of children, which is the way we understand it, let it say the pasuk that we saw by Yitzchak Avinu. It's a much more beautiful metaphor. Why Ka'afar Ha'aretz? Ask Rabbeinu Bechaye because this bracha is not just quantitative to tell you how many children Yaakov will have, but there's a quality here. It will be with the quality of offer. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, what's the quality of offer? Zot Rabbeinu Bechaye, offer has a dual, almost paradoxical quality. On one hand, offer is the ground of the earth. It's downtrodden. We stamp upon it. But yet, if you ever leave the beach, you get into the car, you get into the bus, you take off your shoe, you take off your sock, and you find that you think you walked on the dirt, but the dirt walked all over you. The dirt has risen up your leg, says Rabbeinu Bechaye. The nations of the earth might stamp upon us, but at the end of the day, Bnei Yisrael have a quality of offer that we climb up upon those very legs that trampled upon us. That's the bracha of Vayazaracha Kafar Haaretz. We asked before, what's the connection between Malachei Elokim, Olim V'Yor Dimbo, and the brachas that Hashem gives Yaakov? The answer is very simple, Rabbeinu Bechaye says. That Malachim Olim and then coming down are the nations of the world that rise up and then come down and then fall. The brach of Klal Yisrael, the brach of Vayazaracha Kafar Haaretz is the foil, is the contrast to that, the exact opposite. By Bnei Yisrael, we start on the bottom, we might be trampled at the beginning, but ultimately we rise up to those who themselves try to trample us. The next bracha that Hashem gives Yaakov, Faratz, the Yom of Akeim, the Tzafon of Anegba. And the Kliyoker asks a very, very cute question, but gives a profound and fascinating answer. Ask the Kliyoker, if you look around, he doesn't give this much, but if you look around at Hallel on Sukkos, and you see an 8-year-old, first, second time with a lulav and esrog, he's shaking all over, up, down, here, there, north, west, south. He doesn't know where he's just shaking all over. That's not how I do it. Most of the people, Bnei Ashkenaz, we have very formulated, this way, this way, this way, this way. It's around 90 degrees to the next 90 degrees to the next 90 degrees. In fact, the Kliyoker, very, very, very simple question. For that's the Yama of Akedma. It's a phone of a negative. Everything's opposites. Why not go in order? Just like when we say, he doesn't ask from Hallel, but like, that's a normal way, a normal progression. 90 degrees to the next 90 degrees. Why opposites? Kliyoker cites a medrash. Ein hatshua ba'al Yisrael ad shemagiyim l'tachlis hashiflus. The salvation of Bnei Yisrael doesn't arrive until we reach the very depths of despair. That's what the Medrash says. Why? Explains the Kliyoker. Because as long as there's hope, as long as we're still negotiating, still workable, we rely on our own minds, we rely on our own strategies, we rely on kochi v'otzim yadi. But when we're in trouble, when we know that there's no hope for ourselves, when we're at a matzav of there ain't no atheist in a foxhole, from our perspective, there's nothing we could do. Oh, then I really rely on Hashem. Then it's no longer self-reliance. It's complete and utter bitachon on Hashem because I know I can't do anything anymore. And that's the moment, that deepest, darkest time of despair, when I can't do anything else, that's the moment that I'm boteach on Hashem. Hashem sees that bitachon, and that's the moment that brings the geula. And that's why ein ha-geula ba, ash yagila tachlis ha-shiflus. In other words, the geula comes in a matzav of complete opposites, says the Kli Yakar. From one extreme to another extreme, from the very, very depths, that's where we're catapulted to the heights of geula. Hence, Yom of Akedma, Zafon of Anegva. The geula comes, the geula of Faras, the Yom of Akedma comes in exact opposites. As Yaakov is embarking, leaving the safe haven of where he's been until now, going to his personal galus, he takes an initiative. He realizes he's going to a place where it's dangerous, it's questionable, it's dark, he doesn't know what's going to be. So he takes an initiative. He tries to serve Hashem in that new matzav of galus. He creates Tfilas Mariv. Sfas Emes Merame is that's why he was zocha to this nevuah of seeing what Bnei Yisrael will be like in galus, what the final result of the galus will be. Because he took that initiative of trying to serve Hashem even when it's going to be hard, that's what gave him that merit to see that even in trying times when Klai Yisrael will be in galus, there will be a zacha kafar haaretz of being trampled upon now but ultimately rising up. There will be a faras niyav v'kedem of a geula that we might reach terrible times, but there will be ultimate and eternal salvation. This is all true on a national level. The geula, how it will come. But there are lessons to be learned from the parasha on a very personal level as well. Vayifga b'makom. That's how the sugya starts. Yaakov reaches this place. B'makom. This place. Something about this place. He just gets there. He can't move further. The skies turn black on him. He's stuck there. Says the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, at that moment Yaakov felt that kol ha'olam kulo nasa kol selifanav. The whole world turns into Yaakov's eyes like one brick wall. Where is he stuck? He just has to go. He'll go tomorrow. Where does this mean that he's stuck? The Slonim Rebbe in Asivas Shalom explains that Yaakov until now was living a wonderful life. His whole life, Yaakov Yishtam Yosheva Alim, 14 years based Midrash Shoshem Ve'Ever, learning Yom V'Layla, not sleeping a night, and now he leaves his family. He leaves the comforts of the carpeting of his Beis Medrash, and he's going to Golis. Where is he going? He's going to find a wife. Just make sure you don't say it over the way I said it tomorrow. He's going to bear 12 children, to make a parnasa. He's going to leave Eretz Yisrael. He's going to Beis Lavan Harasha. That's Golis. And he feels as though there's a kosa b'fanav. All the familiar things that he wants, that he loves, the Kedusha, the Tara of Torah, learning all day, it's just not there for him anymore. He has to go to a different world. I think we've all felt that way. Opportunities of being able to concentrate on what we want to do, learn as much as we want, learn as much as we can, and all of a sudden we're burdened with finals, we're burdened with deadlines. Yaakov feels that there's a coast, there's a wall in front of him. How do we deal with the wall? There are two parts, perhaps three. First of all, how old is Yaakov? Yaakov is 63 years old. 63 years old. For 63 years, he built himself to become the best Yankala that Yankala Avinu could become. Not only that, but he prepared himself. He davened the Marv. He prepared himself not just davening Shachris and Minchuel, but preparing himself very actively to prepare himself how to deal with the Golas that he's about to enter. And finally, Hashem gives him this vision. Because of all that avod that he had, because of those years of preparation and that marav that he davened, Hashem is mezaken with a vision of how to deal with galus. And what's that? Sulam mutzav artzav roshem agiyah hashamayma. There's a ladder. It starts on the ground. It's not lying horizontally. It's not flat on the ground. It's climbing. Its head is in the heavens. As if to tell Yaakov, yes, there are things that you're going to have to be involved in. You're going to have to be involved in olam hazeh. In fact, all the halachos of working, of being an employee and employer, of being an honest worker, are learned from Pesukim about Yaakov that we'll see in this week's later on in the parasha, where he says how hard he works. for Lavan. That's working Olam Hazeh. But it's not just Musaf Arza. It's Rosh HaMagi HaShemayim. Zot Islanu Mereva. This is telling us that a person has to have lofty visions. Although he might have to be involved with all the work that he is involved with over here, but his visions, his dedication, his motivations have to be Rosh HaMagi HaShemayim. Have to be L'chuvan L'shem Shemayim. Doesn't mean he can't deal with what he has to deal with in this world. He'll deal with whatever he has to do. He'll make those deadlines. He'll take those finals. But it's with a vision. It's with a motivation of doing things L'shem Shemayim. The message is to us, maybe not until we're 63, but that we should try to afford ourselves the opportunity to be able to stay and prepare ourselves and let us become the Yankelis that we could become, at least until we're at whatever level of spiritual strength that we'll be able to face those challenges that exist outside of the walls of the Beis Medrash. And the message that we could be involved with all kinds of things, but not just with small minds, but with lofty visions, with great goals, with Kavan L'Shem Shemayim, so that not only our ladder of Avodas Hashem is Rosh HaShemayim, but even our own Roshim will be in Shemayim. Let's conclude with the bracha that Hashem should help us be mechazek our Beis Medrash Hashem Ve'ever here and now, and give us the strength to be mechavan L'Shem Shemayim in all the things that we do, so we should be zocha very speedily for Ratzta Yom V'Kedma Tzofan V'Negba. Thank you.